are listening to Rift Overcast.
It's our game. Not the one we made, it's the one we play.
The team here plays the game a lot.
We really think differently about MMOs than what a lot of people do.
Our game isn't the game it was a year ago.
This game changes all the time. Since launch, we've been non-stop planning on what to do next.
It's all about listening to the players.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is Rift Overcast, episode 10. My name is Matt, and with me I have Joe.
Hey.
Joe, you realize that's 10 weeks of Overcast? It's a little over 2 months.
Yeah, I'm getting kind of bored.
What? Why would you say that?
Because I'm sarcastic.
You're just waiting on your Ranger game again, that's why. Like, your mind isn't even on this, is it?
No, I actually want to, like, run some Pug Raids, to be honest.
That's right, because you did, you got to do Guild of Prophecy for your first time yesterday, right?
And River of Souls.
Yeah, and you did River of Souls. Well, tell us about it. How'd that go for you?
I enjoyed virtually every raid in this game so far. The only one of the Tier 1 content, I should say. The only one I haven't done yet is Green Skull's Blight. Though you have told me you enjoy the encounters, though the environment, you know, you think is lacking. But I like all the raids. I actually wish I had seen them, you know, at their peak when they're actually really difficult. Because now it's, like, trivial, to be honest.
Well, yeah. Like, probably one of the best examples of that you got to see last night was in River of Souls, the Plutonus fight. Remember I told you there's actually a lot of coordination to the mechanics on that fight, but you can just tank him outside, like off the platform, and kite him around, and he's pretty much a tank and spank.
Yeah, that was actually pretty hilarious too, because, you know, he looks so, like, intimidating from the outside, and I keep laughing in my head when I was like, oh, so what do I have to do for this fight? And you're like, well, there's a lot in this fight, but you can completely, you know, avoid it.
Yeah, there was quite a bit of coordination that had to happen on that fight before when he was a progression encounter. Like, you saw the giant electric fence that surrounded the platform, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't touch that. And what would happen is that, think of it as the platform being a giant pie, is the lightning would, there would be walls of lightning that would basically divide that circle into, like, a pie, and you would have to move through, or move around the circle and kite the boss around the circle, kite the bonus around, as those walls were coming up, so that people didn't get locked out or dead, because if you touched the wall, it was, like, pretty much instant death. It took a lot of coordination to get the clap timing down. I explained the claps to you a little bit. And you needed a Rift Stalker. It might have been the only way to do it, but it was definitely the best way to do it, to use a Rift Stalker because of their teleports. You probably do it with a Pyromancer, but you need somebody that could, like, blink like that, that could flash or whatever, to be able to flash over or to the other sides of these lightning things and DPS down. I think they did, yeah, they DPS them down or they pick them up. It would pick up these crystals and bring them to the focus, or they would DPS the focus. I honestly forget because it's been so long since I've done it, like, the proper way, but there was a lot of coordination. And then when you got to a certain timer, because he was a DPS race, that lightning wall that surrounds the outer edge would close in and shrink on you and change shape and stuff.
Yeah, I'm not surprised how, you know, in-depth the fight is. You know, there's no wonder why people completely avoid it. What's the point if it, you know, it's so trivial while doing the other strat?
I would dread pugging Plutonus, honestly, if that exploit wasn't there for that. And it's kind of funny that Tryon's left it alone, but I mean, it's so outdated at this point that, yeah, of course we want to see, and a newer player might want to see that fight, like, you know, in all of its glory. And I talked about on multiple episodes how much I want to see Hammernail in all of its glory. I want to be able to, but that's not going to happen at this point. I think Tryon's just kind of letting it go because it's so old now.
I'm not surprised. You know, I had asked you when I was doing it, actually, like, literally in the middle of the encounter, if they had made any attempts to remove that entire exploit. And you told me no, but what probably happened was that, number one, we don't even know how long ago this exploit was discovered. You had told me you didn't know how long it was, and it was actually a pretty recent discovery. And by this point, you know, I think if this was discovered early on, they would have made efforts. But like you said, what's the point now? The content, people are pugging as it is. Why would you essentially give them a roadblock, you know, on the third boss? I mean, just...
Yeah, I don't mind I don't mind that they haven't fixed it. I'm just a little surprised that they haven't. And what's funny, too, though, actually, you know, not to spend too much time on such an old encounter, but it is kind of funny that the people that I ask about this exploit, like, nobody seems to know how long it's actually been around. And I think I was telling you that last night, too, while you were in there. Nobody knows how long this exploit's been around, and it might have actually been there, and nobody thought to do it when he was a progression fight, honestly.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was saying before. Like, if I think of a lot of people, maybe, you know, as far as we know, there might have been a select few that knew about it and did it at the time, but I think if it was a really popular thing then, or, you know, maybe even a couple months afterwards its release, they would have made an effort. But now that it's been such a long time since that's been released, you know, why even waste the time and effort? Just move on and do something more productive.
Yeah, I agree. Let's go over the poll results from last week, which last week's poll was, what are you looking forward to the most in Rift's future? What happens after Regulus? The upcoming City Zone? I almost read that wrong. The poll option is killing Regulus himself. I almost said Regulus killing himself. If that happened, then, I mean, well, that'd be interesting. There is no raid for Regulus. He just offs himself for us. We don't even have to touch him. The next raid, whatever it may be, competitive PvP updates, and new 5-man dungeons and master modes. We got 12 voters. 4 voted for what happens after Regulus. 4 voted for the upcoming City Zone. 1 for Regulus killing himself, 1 for the next raid. Nobody out of the 12 voted for competitive PvP updates, which was a little interesting. Maybe we don't have as very many PvPers listening. And 2 votes for new 5-man dungeons and master modes. I really wish that we got more voters on this poll, to be honest, just because I was really curious to see, mostly between like who was looking forward to Regulus himself, what happens after, and the new 5-man stuff. Those were the 3 that I was kind of looking at the most and expecting to be the highest. But that new City Zone does look pretty ridiculous.
I think I actually look forward to the master modes the most. Mainly because I just have curiosity. Like, first of all, which instances are they picking? How many are they going to release at a time? How often are master mode updates going to, you know, like once they release one update, let's say they do like 2 more master modes. Like, how long after that is, you know, another set going to come out? Or is it going to be, like, extremely long? And then once I actually know what instance they're going to make a master mode, you know, what bosses are they adding? What are they doing to the strategies from experts to make it more complicated, etc.?
Yeah, I'd love to see more 5-man content right now. I think Trion's got a really full plate right now, especially with a lot of the complaints that are stemming out of Infernal Dawn. I'm sure they're spending a lot of development time adjusting. I'm not sure if, you know, they have a dedicated team to just patching the current content aside from their normal development team. We did see them talk about how all the developers have their own personal server when they released that 1-year video and stuff. They were talking about that's how they can release content so fast, is that each individual developer has their own personal like setup, you know, with their own PC and their own server that they can change how the game works and test stuff and run stuff on, and that's how they can pump stuff out. So not sure what the logistics are like for dealing with the current content and coming up with new stuff, but I expect that it takes a lot to do a master mode, you know, probably almost as much as it would take to do an entire new raid. But I really want to see them treat 5-mans like they do everything else, like a new master mode every couple of months, or a master mode a month or something, you know what I mean? I kind of wonder too, maybe we haven't seen a new master mode because they're going to release multiple ones on the next one. Maybe they're developing them, but they're going to give us like 3 at once.
They can always just like bridge the gap between raids or master modes. I mean, people always hate like long droughts of anything. And, you know, in between 20-mans and even 10-mans is, you know, at least a couple months, so I really don't think it takes that much time to redo the master mode. It's not like they're redoing anything graphically. They're essentially possibly adding a partial wing to the instance. They're mainly, from what I've seen in Darkening Deep, just like adding bosses in already, you know, the area that's already there. They're just utilizing the area more efficiently, essentially. And they're adding a couple more strats. Like, I don't think it takes that much development time. I think that either they're doing what you're saying, they're either developing a lot at once, and possibly either planning on to release them slowly at a time so that, you know, they have a lot like in their back pocket essentially, so they could just, you know, do it without having to worry about it for a while, or they're just not focusing on it at all, which I actually honestly could foresee either one of those being viable, because like you said, they might not have a lot of people dedicated to it and they might just, you know, think other things are more important right now, period.
Well, I hope that they're not neglecting the master modes, because a lot of people are looking for those, especially the people that aren't raiding. I don't think they're neglecting them. You know, you and I were talking off air sometime this week, I don't remember when, a little bit about what MMOs look like as far as their quality and how much content they have on launch. You know, we were talking about all the new stuff that's coming out, like Terra and some of the new stuff that has come out, you know, Diablo 3 and Guild Wars 2 and Star Wars and all those and everything. And talking about how they release, like Rift released with the Tier 1s, the Tier 2s, and Greenscale's Blight, and that's all it had. So there really wasn't anything. And then there were just standard Rifts. There wasn't a whole lot when the game first came out, and we were talking about how we totally wait like another, you know, another year for them to just basically build up content ahead of time before they ever release anything, and then just release it all at once. Because like right now, no one knows what's going on behind the scenes, so it's hard to be anxious about it. You know what I mean? Like I'm not feeling really anxious about the 5-man content. I want it. But I don't know if it's coming. I don't know when it's coming. It's fine. I feel content because I'm distracted by other stuff. My mind isn't on it because they haven't said anything about it yet. So while we're distracted and not paying attention, go ahead. Work on all your stuff. Build it up. Release a whole bunch of stuff all at once. I like that better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if that is indeed their strategy, I'm all for it. I think the only thing that really makes anyone anxious is the uncertainty of if they're doing that or not. And that, you know, that can be applied to anything, whether it's master modes, raids, you know, anything in the game.
I have faith. I have a lot of faith in Trion. They, we talked about one of our last episodes, Eye for an Eye, the Stillmore Zone event, got changed pretty much almost exactly to what we were asking for in that one episode. We were very disappointed and a bit frustrated with the fact that there was only one turn-in location. You could only carry one source stone at once whenever you closed a rift or killed an invasion, and you had to acquire 300 source stone. So when there's 5 people in that zone, and there's 2 rifts open at once, and one of them happens to be on the opposite end of the turn-ins, that event was a total pain in the ass. And they brought it down to 100 source stone required, and you can now stack multiple source stones. You can carry multiple ones on you at once and return 5, 10 at once. So they're listening.
It was 250, just to correct you, but that doesn't, you know.
Oh, my bad.
That doesn't take away from the fact that it's a vast improvement. They did not add multiple locations, but I don't think that's nearly as big as the fact that, you know, you can carry multiple now. So, I mean, that was the biggest problem, was that if there was a closer location and they reduced, you know, to 100 how it is now, you know, I basically, there was 3 problems, like you said. And as long as they fixed 2 of them, it made sense. Fixing 3, of course, I think would be optimal, but honestly, I don't think that matters that much anymore. Especially since it's only 100, it probably takes a matter of like 10 minutes if you have like a good, like, you know, 10, 20 people, if that, to be honest. And the other problem was like, because it took so long, number one, you got like pretty much no extra rewards for the event for participating, and it took so long, so people were completely discouraged from actually participating. People were actually probably encouraged to participate now because, despite them not, you know, getting anything tangible in terms of rewards, at least it's over so fast that, you know, people were like, let's just do it and get it over with, essentially.
Definitely. But, I mean, the bigger picture, like, it's awesome that they made this event more manageable. And hopefully they'll do the Scourge of the Sands next one people are crying out for. Now that they saw this, people want more. And naturally, right? It's natural. Now people want them to breathe some life into Scourge of the Sands, which is the escort quest in, or the escort type in style invasion in Shimmer Sand.
That's my favorite invasion.
Yeah, I bet.
You don't like standing next to an NPC caravan and clicking W every 10 seconds? It's exhilarating.
I yell at it. I do / yell. You are in danger. Keep running. Oh, wait. Keep walking.
It's slowly. Too bad they can't respond to that. It really, it's just too bad.
That'd be hilarious. The big picture here is it is great that they fixed this event that or made it more manageable, but it's such a small aspect of the game that I feel like, I mean, it was like that for a while, but it doesn't feel like it was too soon after we started seeing people talking about it and we talked about it that it got fixed. So as far as stuff like 5-mans go and stuff that we haven't seen really any announcements for, like PvP changes or new master modes, I honestly have faith in Trion. I'm feeling so good about Trion this week. I don't know what it is. All these new MMOs coming out this year, man, I will tell you, something is going to improve on something or have something crazy new that's going to pull people in, and people are going to leave Rift and probably go try that or whatever, And then you know what? They're going to come back, because no matter what a new MMO comes out with this year, or what they have going for them, what gimmick, whatever, Rift has one thing that none of those MMOs can possibly deliver. It's impossible. And that's Rift has Trion. So honestly, Trion is the best company on the market right now. Everybody's got their complaints and their little qualms, but Trion is the best company for MMOs on the market right now.
You know, I have renewed interest, and that's in part because I went back to my Rogue, but it's also in part because, like, you know, I have been looking forward to Guild Wars 2. I was definitely, you know, on the fence about it. I tried the beta this past weekend, and I, you know, there's so many improvements to be made. I like the core of the game, but it still doesn't do anything so groundbreaking, you know, overwhelming. And that could honestly change in the next couple of beta weekends, because they plan to do once every month, though I don't foresee something that massive or dramatic happening. So it doesn't do anything so dramatic, you know, that it like offsets, you know, my favoritism towards Rift, essentially. And I don't think it's going to do that for anyone. I think the only reason you would go to another game at this point is if you're a really big PvPer. That's really the only thing I could see. And Guild Wars 2 does, I have to admit, like, really appeal to a PvP fan with the World vs. World thing, which is just another reason why people want a similar type zone Rift, because they basically, like, are asking Trion, like, I want to stay with this game, give me a reason to, you know, if you're a big-time PvPer.
Yeah, well, Trion's been saying that 2012 is gonna, they've got a ton of really big, this is their words, said really big PvP changes coming. And they have confirmed that the next patch is going to have a whole bunch of PvP stuff. So let's just, you know, I'm just going to have faith and sit tight, because I love Trion as a company. I love Rift as a game. And I just feel like it's going to get here. Anything that I'm waiting on right now that I haven't seen any news for, it's going to get here. I have faith.
This is the only game that I've had this much faith. It's probably since, like, Burning Crusade with World of Warcraft. But that's funny, because I don't foresee them going down any path that Blizzard went after that, which is to say, I don't foresee myself completely losing faith in them like I did with Blizzard and Wrath of the Chain, Cataclysm, etc. So it's pretty awesome to, you know, like you said, like, you can't replicate a company like that. Not just because, not necessarily because they're so good at what they do, just because they're rare, essentially.
Yeah, well, you hear it in our intro every week. It's not the game they made, it's the game they play, and, you know, that's a, It's a great marketing line, but I thoroughly believe it. It's totally true. And you know what I've been seeing lately, too? We're still in the announcements, for Christ's sake. We haven't even gotten to our freaking discussion yet. I'm not even done the announcements yet. But you know what I've seen recently that kind of piqued my interest, too, and kind of renewed, like, reminded me how much I like Trion as a company? Is I've been seeing GMs popping into chat a lot more often lately, like over the past 30 days or so.
And I think that partially has to do with 1.8. If I'm Trion right now, and I'm being like completely blown right now, I know that in the next 4 to 5 months, there is a lot of competition. I don't care how, even Blizzard knows that, you know, and they still, you know, you can't be ignorant to that. Like, I don't care how big of a lead you have in subscriptions or whatever position you're in. You have to know that there's a lot of competition on the horizon. So you have to do anything and everything, and which they do for the most part, but I think they want to do even more, like go another step and, you know, just show like that they're going to do stuff that other games won't do over a long period of time. So, you know, like you said earlier, another game might come out and have some gimmick to bring you over short term, but over the long haul, they're not going to consistently, you know, dedicate themselves to the game and keep you interested.
Well, let's finish these announcements so we get some of the discussion stuff. This is exciting to announce. Overcast is going to be on, we are on Twitch TV. Twitch.tv/RiftOvercast is our channel. And we're going to be working on doing some live content for you guys. We've got a couple hours of Joe and I doing experts from a couple of days ago. We've got, we're still working on, like, the logistics for the channel and improving the performance of the stream and such. I think Joe's was pretty good the other night when we tried it out. But so we're still working some stuff out for the channel, so I'm still kind of in, like, a beta mode here. We don't have a schedule for when we're going to stream yet. We are going to have one in the future, just kind of working that out right now. But while we're working on stuff, especially because we're trying to optimize the stream quality and whatever, we will be streaming at random times, so keep your eye on Twitter. We are on Twitter @RiftOvercast and on Facebook for posts for when we're going to stream. We'll post the announcement on Twitter, Facebook, the official forums, and the blog when we do have the schedule. And this is probably the most exciting part. I really hope that we get some interest in this. Really considering the possibility of bringing on some new voices for people to do some stream, some content for some specific areas, such as PvP and progression rating. So if you're interested and willing, then send us an email at riftovercast. Send us an email, riftovercast@gmail.com, with what you want to stream. Include your PC specifications and your availability, and we'll see about setting you up. The channel twitch.tv gives us a streamer key, so I can share you the streamer key and allow you to stream on the channel, and hopefully we can maybe cover like every evening of the week with something, somebody doing something on the channel, and that'd be a lot of fun, really get Rift's presence out there. Because, you know, twitch.tv, Joe, I know you know a little bit about it, but like MLG, you know, the MLG tournaments, League of Legends is huge, StarCraft II, Marvel vs. Capcom, and all those really competitive games, esport games, Twitch is huge for that kind of stuff. So, I mean, if we can get some attention for Rift on there, because right now, if you go search Rift on there, you might be lucky enough to find one person streaming their level 10. It has, the game has like zero presence on Twitch, so we really want to bring that to Twitch. So I hope we get some emails, some people interested. I go by the name Ozimet on the official forums. You can get me that way too. You can get me on Twitter. You can get me on Facebook. However you manage to do it, just what you want to stream, PC specs, and your availability. Also, the Lathys encounter is going to open this Saturday. If you're listening to this, you're listening on Friday. We're recording on Wednesday. So it would be tomorrow for you guys, May 5th, Saturday, May 5th, Lathys will open. I swear to God, dude, if a dragon dies this weekend, I quit. I'm just saying, man, we'll get to that later, but yeah. So you switched back to Rogue, Joe, how come?
Well, we had talked like numerous times over a long course of time that my attraction to this game, you know, obviously because of trying and because of the content and whatnot, but the one thing I have told this game is the classes, and it's really because I'm usually attracted to, like, the warrior-type class, you know? Like, I'm very boring in that way, and I've probably said it previously in this podcast in some episode. And I like the warrior, but I don't love it like I have in previous games. I don't know what it is exactly. It just feels a little bland, I guess is the best way to put it. And the biggest thing is, you know, one of the biggest attractions to Rift is the constantly swapping roles and whatnot. And I didn't really, you know, as much as I liked a couple of tank specs, I almost never really enjoyed the DPS specs really at all. I always found them very mediocre. I never disliked them. So with the Rogue, I find myself, you know, sure, I might not like all the DPS ones, but I'm loving Ranger. I think I will like Marksman to an extent. I might even, you know, every once in a while see myself doing like a partial Bard. You know, I'm never going to do it seriously, but I, you know, do it to change pace. And when I was low on my Rogue, I didn't mind a couple of the melee specs, so I just think I have more choices essentially. And you know, I had originally tried doing tanking on it, and the Riftstalker is fine. I never loved it, probably similar to the war. I just think I have more options, and I just like Rangers so much that pretty much conquered anything that I was going to play on the warrior, like, period.
I think you've just tanked for too long. I mean, I also don't know if you've really ever optimize the warrior tanking stuff. What specs have you tried on the warrior for tanking?
Well, I love the paladin, but you know, it lacks so much in terms of overall mitigation, which actually a lot of people want to see changed. I like the warlord, but again, it you played 51 spec or anything really high, and it had the same problems with paladin. A lot of utility just lacked the overall mitigation that Reaver and Void Knight basically have. And spec I was playing with was 44 Paladin, 20 Warlord. It was considered a good overall spec. It was never, like, you know, exceptional by any means. So, you know, I could definitely walk into a raid with it. But, like, if I wanted to be completely optimal, pretty much, and it's kind of, like, almost funny, is that no matter what raid spec or raid thread or form, whatever you read for theorycrafting, 38 points Reaver is like an absolute necessity now. And people just, you know, and then 8 Paladin pretty much with it is almost a necessity. We were talking about this off air, I think, yesterday. It's pretty much like 38 Reaver, 8 Paladin, and then the last 20 points you basically, like, put where you want. You know, I had seen 20 Warlord spec. You had seen a 20 Void Knight one. And that kind of upset me because I don't dislike Reaver, but it definitely wasn't even close to my favorite. I like both Warlord and Paladin better. They just lack the overall mitigation. And so what you said about taking too long, I think that definitely played some part in it, but I think it's like I have always played either a tank or like a hunter slash ranger type character. You know, like a guy with a bow or a gun and I'm ranged and I have a pet. I predominantly have played the tanking aspect, but every once in a while I've, done the other one. And I think it's been such a long time since I did that it's almost like refreshing to play it, whereas the tanking I've done it for so long that it's almost like overkill at this point. So, and I really, it's never that I liked tanking or the other one more so than the other. I think I liked tanking at one point because me and you had been tanking or playing with rather the same crew of people for, a year or so. Well, for you, probably a year or two at tops, me even longer than that. And I enjoyed tanking for them. But I think once we kind of, drifted apart from them, tanking became a little less desirable to me. And DPSing, I wouldn't say it became more desirable, but it was definitely more like of a viable option, essentially.
I can see that. I mean, we were raiding a lot more and a lot more aggressively back then. We were, four or five nights at one of those 4 or 5 nights a week guilds on that other game there. So you were tanking a lot more frequently and doing a lot more meaningful content than what you've been able to do right now, because we don't really have access to any kind of challenging raids at the moment. But I mean, well, enough about the tanking then. Like, what is it about the ranger then? Is it the pet? Like, what do you like about the ranger so much?
Well, I hate referencing the other games so much, but most games usually have a very, straightforward like ranger slash hunter type class, so it's nothing new or,
Like a pet class, a pet oriented bow spec.
Exactly, yeah. Like every game has something like that. I basically think that I like that. I actually kind of like that it uses combat points. That's a little bit different than most other games, and but any rogue uses combat points, obviously, in this game. I like that aspect. And I don't know, there's something a little more intriguing about the ranger in this game than, the stereotypical bow one. I think I don't think it's even tangible. I just like there's something about it that just attracts you. But even if it was like exactly the same, and very stereotypical, I'd probably still immensely enjoy it. I don't know, like I said, I don't think I can ever like point my finger on exactly what it is, but I always enjoy pet classes, though. I don't know how much I like Warlock or demon type pet classes. I generally am more of a fan of like a
You
very
never really
stereotypical.
liked casters though anyway, so.
Yeah, so
And those demon type pet classes usually are coupled with the caster type, so. But I'll tell you what you don't like about Ranger. I'll tell you what isn't your main draw to it, and that's the Blood Raptor.
Before we move on to the bow route, I want to put this very quickly. I think the biggest thing that attracts me to any type of bow class is that I like doing physical damage. Like you said, I don't like casting, but I like being ranged. So it's almost like a perfect collection. I'm ranged and I'm doing physical damage. I think that's my biggest draw to it. And I like the pet. As far as the raptor is concerned, God, there's so many problems with it. But if someone were to ask me, like, what could Tryon do to just make it satisfactory, never mind like great, remove its head and put something that's a raptor head, please. Because whatever inspiration they got for the current Blood Raptor's face and whole head model, it definitely wasn't a raptor. I think it was some sort of snake type deal, because no raptor I've ever seen looks like that. Plus, there's raptor mounts in the game and it doesn't even resemble anything like that.
Well, those are different. Those are like striders or whatever they're. They're like feathered raptors.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If they were to like literally copy and paste one of the raptor mounts, I would be like jumping up and down right now, because
I think they should just copy and paste your face onto the current Blood Raptor, and that'll fix the whole model.
yeah, and then patrol hair on top, and that's it. Deal's over.
There you go! Troll hair on Joe's face on a Blood Raptor. I'm gonna Photoshop that tonight.
Now, that would totally obsolete the previous Blood Raptor.
I'll tell you my problem with the classes in this game is that I can't pick one because I like too many.
You have the opposite problem of mine. That's pretty funny.
I have such because well I mean I have almost 250 warriors. I have 50 rogue. I have 250 clerics, and I have 250 mages. So I've got everything. at least one of everything, two of some of the others because of Guardian Defiant and all the rerolling I've done, and I've played them all. I know the Warrior the least because I never really committed to a Warrior, but I've committed on the Rogue, the Cleric, and the Mage, and they keep changing. Like every time, you know, every patch they make these little tweaks, and it's like, oh, sweet, this combination's viable now. So, you know, I might be like on the Cleric, for example. Like last night, I was on the Cleric, and I'm really enjoying Justicar with a lot of the changes to Justicar. Now that I've gotten used to dumping my convictions using Doctrine of Loyalty for AoE threat. It's amazing. It's not a complicated spec to play, but with how effective the Justicar is, it is extremely fun. Just because it's awesome that there's like those two or three caster mobs over there that would normally otherwise be beating on somebody, but I can be at the other end of the room and spamming Doctrine of Loyalty, and I've got threat on them. You know, I love that. But then 1.8 changes the Mage, changes how Empowered Darkness works for the Warlock. That's the Warlock 51-point ability. And so you know, Joe, because I don't think you're familiar with it, prior to 1.8, Empowered Darkness consumed charge at a steady rate. It was a toggle ability, okay? And it increased all of the mage's damage by 75%, and it had a 30-second cooldown on it. What they did with 1.8 is they increased it to a 45-second cooldown, reduced its damage buff to 50%, except that now, when you use Empowered Darkness, it immediately uses 75 out of your 100 charge, but it doesn't drain it. So you pop it, and now it's just a cooldown that you just pop for 75 charge as a resource. So you still have your 25 left. And the reason why that's significant is because the Warlock's primary damage over time spell is Defile, which also consumes charge. So it was impossible to have Empowered Darkness and Defile up at the same time because you wouldn't be able to sustain your charge up. And once you run out of charge, Defile would drop off the target. But with the changes, now you can have 100 charge, use 75 of it for Empowered Darkness, refresh your Defile, and the Defile is the only one consuming charge at that point. So you can continue to build charge while under the effects of Empowered Darkness. Well, so, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say that, I mean, I know you're happy about this. Don't we both know you're not leaving the Cleric because you like that class too much? And when I say he likes the class too much, I literally mean he likes the class. Like, he likes every goddamn soul because he's just a psycho like that. But I hope they continue to do this. I really do. I mean, we keep talking about we want more souls to be viable. I really think that Warrior needs like some changing. I think Mage has gotten, you know, some attention. I don't think any class, you know, or any calling, I should say, or any like I said, any class has gotten too much attention. You know, they definitely all, probably all need some work. But I definitely think the Warrior is the next one in line because both the tanking souls need some, you know, more attention, and the DPS souls need to, you know, there's to be more options. Just, you know, there's no other way to put it.
Maybe. I mean, definitely the DPS souls. The fact that everybody's kind of running champion right now is kind of crazy. Although I did see I think it's the Frostbite video that I put up on the blog. I don't think you watched that yet, Joe, actually, did you? It's the Guild Frostbite against, oh, what's his name? Etuziel and the Ember Conclave?
Yeah.
Did you watch that video?
I browsed through it really fast. I didn't really, like, sit there myself.
Oh, well, it's from the point of view of a Warrior, and that Warrior at one point is actually using a Riftblade Paragon spec. And I know this because I saw him using Riftstorm, which means that he's at least 31, right? At least 31 points Riftblade? Or is Riftstorm... Yeah. Riftstorm is the 51 point, right? It's the top tier. It's the 31 point on the upper.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. So I saw him using Riftstorm, and he was dual wielding. So I believe he was a Riftblade Paragon. He might have been some Riftblade Paragon champion hybrid or something, but he definitely had those two souls in there. And it looked really cool. He was using predominantly Riftblade abilities, but I did see him using Rising Waterfalls, which is best to use with Dual Wield, and probably why he was using Dual Wield. So that was really cool because I really like the Riftblade Soul. I love the Paragon Soul, but they're not really too viable. Like I was telling you that I really enjoy the playstyle of Beastmaster Paragon, but that's probably not going to keep up with the champion at all. So it would be nice to see them give the Warriors more DPS options.
I think a lot of the DPS holes in this previous patch, they brought them to maybe not quite competitive, but they're close. You know, like they need another couple tweaks and they're there. I think the tanking situation is worse off. I mean, if you look on any thread right now, you do 38 Reaver, period. Like there's nothing else you're doing. Like that's a huge problem. I mean, I understand that there's a little variation because like we said before, like you can do 20 Void Knight also or 20 Warlord, but I shouldn't be pigeonholed to doing 38 Reaver, period. Like, if you're in a hardcore guild, you are not doing another spec, like, at all.
Yeah, I think they've made so many sweeping changes on these souls that they're kind of getting a little bit of... kind of burying themselves a little bit in their work, you know? Because they've changed so much since launch, which, honestly, I mean, at least, I'd say probably 90% of that has all been for the better, really. They've done a really good job with a lot of these, quote-unquote, sweeping changes. But I think it's also... thrown off the initial kind of balance that they had going on with stuff between all the souls and soul combinations, and now they're kind of trying to catch back up to themselves.
The one thing, though, I think is a little... I don't know if I want to say it's easier, but with the tanking changes, like, all of the other trees, like I mentioned them before, like Paladin and Warlord, they all have their respective, like, utility. That's why, like, Warlord and even Paladin, to an extent, you can go into them, but just that at a certain point where it's, like, past 20 points, past 31 points, past 44 points, like, they start, like, losing appeal because there's, you know, you're not really gaining anything extra for the, you know, next 10 points or so, or whatever more you're putting in. And Reaver at this time is just so far ahead in just overall mitigation that I don't think they would have to do that much work. I mean, Paladin has, such, like, in my opinion, has the best cooldowns in the entire... Well, maybe Warlord has pretty good cooldowns as well, but regardless, all you'd really have to do is almost do, like, flat mitigation increases. And literally, like, ta-da. You know, it's like, that's... I understand.
Yeah, but it's not that black and white, dude, because if you do... Like, if you just flat-out increase the mitigation for Paladin, then you're going to start seeing people doing 33 Reaver, 33 Paladin again kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Well, no,
because you're
going
to take the best mitigation of each soul and you... You know, unless you actually have to go 51 points into a soul, I don't think that they're ever going to really get all of the souls like viable like that. And...
Well, I think that almost every soul in the Warrior one, in particular Paladin and Warlord, they're viable up to about 38 points. Possibly even Paladin to 44, but that really depends what you pair with. So you'd really, like, you'd have to add these, and like I just said, the biggest problem with them is that it's not so much that 51-point talents are bad. It's that the gap between 38 and 51 or 44 and 51 lacks. Like, there's nothing in between that's, you know, giving you anything. So they could purposely put the changes in between, like, 38 and 44 or in between 44 and 51. That's it. I think you would solve a lot of problems. So you could see similar specs where people are doing 38 points, but it won't necessarily be 38 Reaver. It will be 38 Paladin or 38 Warlord. Honestly, I don't even... I like hybrids, but... I just think it's dumb that everyone's pigeonholed, not only just a Reaver, but that they're also only pigeonholed 30 points into a tree.
Well, how would you feel if they, in an attempt to make all the souls viable, made it so that the best specs, kind of like the cleric, the best specs are always 51 points down a soul? I mean, would you still
I would rather
would
that.
You feel satisfied? Really? You'd rather have to go 51 points.
If that means that at any point in time I could be that, if that means that 51 Reaver, 51 Paladin, 51 Void Knight, and did I miss one? And 51 Warlord, did I mention that? Are all, like, on par with one another? That's definitely not optimal, but that is dramatically better than what the current state is.
You know, that's the same homogenization type style direction that a certain other game went. Everybody
hated
it. Well,
like I just said, it's not optimal, but it's preferable than it is now, period. I mean... I think it's so dumb that you can't do anything else. And Paladin...
It's certainly easier to balance.
Yeah, it is. I mean, obviously, when I first played this game, I loved doing a Reaver Paladin hybrid. Like, what was it, like 34-33 or 33-33 or 34-32? But if it really takes them having to do what you just said to make things, like, constantly balance and not have to worry, like, every patch... You know, because, I mean, let's be honest. Even if they, like, you know... fix the current system and didn't do what you just said, you know, you're always going to be worrying, like, the next patch, like, is it going to make the, you know, is it going to be another flavor of the month? If you want to remove flavor of the months, but, you know, almost have to, like, settle for 51-point builds, I'd rather it. because it's annoying. It's kind of stupid. Like every month I have to be like, oh, this is better.
Well, I enjoyed that. Like we got on this because I was saying how I have class ADD because I enjoy them so much. And that's because every time that they do a sweeping change to one of the other souls combinations that I've played before, like such as 51 Warlock, which oddly enough, by the way, it's funny because Warlock became viable because of the 51 point spec. You have to be a 51 Warlock right now to even be at
But I
all
think
competitive.
you like the sweeping changes because there was two or three choices and now a fourth one appeared or some random like that. You know, if they're already all balanced, you wouldn't care about the sweeping changes. You'd be like, oh, I could try all five. You know what I mean? Like, you're only liking the sweeping changes because it's making something else viable. So if they're all viable, but you had to be 51 points in, you'd be just as excited.
I don't know. That's a hard one for me to decide on, really, especially because I'm playing a cleric as a main right now. And my, you know what my specs are right now? I have a 51 point warden, I have a 51 point purifier, I have a 51 point inquisitor, and I have a 51 point Justicar, and I have a 51 point inquisitor with 15 points Justicar in case I need a support heal. So all five of
Honestly,
my specs are 51 points, and I love the way they play. But it is a little disappointing. Like, if I wanted to go melee, guess what? I'm going to play 51 Shaman or 51 Druid. So the cleric's already like that. Even though I'm enjoying those souls, that was something that I used to love about the mage, was how much I could toy with, the hybriding between the souls before. And that was something that I loved about the rogue, too. I think the rogue, to even more of an extent, even in current game, maybe not so much in current game, but even in 1.8, the rogue has a lot more freedom to mix and match with their melee souls specifically.
honestly, I don't even think, I mean, as much as I used to, like I just said before, like 34, 32 Reaver Paladin hybrids, if I were to make like an optimal game, I wouldn't make it 51 points, but I don't think I'd want like me, you know, if you want to be a specific spec, whether it's, you know, Pyromancer as a mage or a Ranger as a rogue, like, I think that you should have to at least spend like, I don't know, 40 points in that tree. You can even do 44. I think 51 is a little, you know, overkill because then you have such a, you know, you have 15 points and that's really it. If you have 44, you have 22, so it's a little more freedom. So if they could do what you just said with 51 points, we make it 44 instead. So that way, like the bet, you know, the biggest thing you could do is like 44, 20, or you know, some variation like that. I think that would actually be optimal to me.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if instead of an expansion, or maybe when they do an expansion or an expansion style patch, instead of introducing new souls to us, they just give the souls more abilities. Because when you think about it, you look at the progression of the root abilities, and they typically go like something like 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, and then some of them might jump from 12 to 16, or they go 12, 14, 16, 20, 22, whatever. So there's a couple of jumps between some of the ranks, and then the biggest jump is always that every single class goes from 44 to 51. You don't go 44, 46, 48, 51, or even 44, 48, 51. So maybe that's what they we'll see. Maybe they'll add a few more in between the 44 and the 51, and that'll kind of mix up stuff and make people kind of think, maybe I should go, 48 points, and then you get a few extra.
Yeah, and there's even a jump from 38 to 44 in every class.
That's right. There is usually a jump there. Few classes do have a 40 point though. Like I know for a fact the assassin gets Hidden Veil at 40 points.
Yeah, but you know, there's definitely gonna be exceptions to the rule, but you know, you still obviously add abilities there. I like hybriding, I do, but if it takes sacrificing it, at least to a little bit of an extent, 51 might be a little extreme, but if it means like the absolute minimum you have to put in a tree is 38 or even 44, be all for it. That means like every single spec is viable.
Yeah, it's a great dream to have. I don't think we're ever gonna have. I mean, no MMO has ever really perfected the whole balancing act that is the classes, and Rift has so many and so many combinations. But things aren't terribly unbalanced right now. It's just, like we've been saying, the variety of it is not. There's not as much variety as maybe
Well,
we would hope that there is. But that's fine. We'll wait and see what Tryon has in store. I mean, I can't make the decision. Really, I can't. I've played the cleric that's all 51 point specs, and I've played the mage and the rogue that uses a lot of hybriding, and I like both. Like, I think of the combinations as being the classes. I don't really think of the souls as being the individual classes, as it stands right now.
yeah, I can't disagree with that. I honestly just have more faith in Tryon simply because other games, their biggest problem with balancing is because of PvP. But Tryon, because they have a brain, quite frankly, they make certain things just operate completely different in PvP, which honestly, in my opinion, should be a standard in the entire genre. Cannot stand when companies make things purely for PvP. But like we just saw 1.8 with Warden, how their heals, operate strictly different in PvP and strictly different in PvE. Like that's how everything should work, and that's usually, I would probably say, the biggest hurdle that other games have in balancing all specs of a certain class, to be competitive with one another. And since they pretty much jumped over that hurdle, I kind of have like higher expectations.
Definitely, it's definitely easy to have high expectations from Tryon, and I've always wondered why other games haven't been able to balance PvP separately, but Tryon showed that that's definitely possible. Maybe it's an engine limitation, I don't know, but I'm happy that it's happened in the game that I enjoy the most. So, but let's talk about this a little bit. Riftstorm got buffed on the Warrior, and it's bugging a lot of people. So, this is the Warrior buff too, Joe. Like, Riftstorm is insanely strong in PvP right now as well. But it's also on the PvE aspect, it is now showing up on the brutes in Darkening Deeps have Riftstorm, and it's killing people in a couple of ticks because it ticks so fast. It's an instant cast. The brute apparently still uses attack points. I don't know if he starts with three, but you don't know how many attack points he has, when he's going to use the Rift Storm. I made a post on a thread that was talking about this, and I mentioned that they don't seem to use Rift Storm in the first few seconds that you aggro them. But I actually had one when we did our Master Mode Darkening Deeps yesterday. I used Rift Storm right off the bat and killed somebody, like instantly.
I mentioned to you, I thought this was kind of funny that the mobs in Master Mode use this because generally, at least in other MMOs I've played, NPCs will definitely use similar abilities, if not the exact same abilities, because like they're technically classes as well. Like obviously those certain mobs in Master Mode are a warrior, but usually when you update the ability for the player, it doesn't necessarily dictate the NPC's change. So we were both wondering if that was a indirect change because of Tryon's update, or they purposely put this in. Either way, it's hysterical.
Yeah, we haven't seen any response back from them yet, but you know what? It really just kind of, I like it. I'm gonna get destroyed by people for saying that, but I like it. It's aggravating. Like the first time it happened, I was like, you weren't in this Darkening Deeps because you were playing through the crazy beta weekends that all just ended. There was, all three games, the new games coming out, had beta weekends the last couple weeks. But I did a Master Mode Darkening Deeps while you were playing those betas, and that's when I noticed this. And we died, like, we ended up wiping on this shit, like, three times in a row, and I'm just like, crap, this Master Mode's gonna fall apart, or I'm gonna get kicked, or something, because I was healing those. I'm like, they're gonna be like, why don't you heal me? Like, because you're dying in two ticks, and I don't even have, my global isn't fast enough to heal you through that. But I like it, and I like it because almost no matter what build you are, you have some kind of CC you can use. Like you might have a disarm that you don't ever use in PvE, or you might have a stun that you don't ever use in PvE, or talk about maybe oh crap, a Rift Storm, a Shadow Stalk to somebody for safety to get out of it, or blink or whatever, flicker, whatever. So knowing that a mob like that is in the group, it means that you actually have to think about it a little bit, you know what I mean? Instead of AoEing that group down, burn the brute. Cycle your stuns like you're used to cycling interrupts on bosses. I don't think it's really all that different from cycling interrupts. I like that it's going to take a little bit more organization to take these things out right now.
I think that anything that makes any sort of trash, not trivial is a bonus to the game. It's definitely not a detriment.
Well,
Because we
the
had
tr
talked.
trash and trivial. I mean, it's trash for a reason, right?
We had talked a while ago that the one thing, like, I like decks which in this game. They're better than heroics in the other game, or this every game has that type of deal, like a harder mode of 5 minutes when you're max level. The one thing I miss above anything else is like CC in 5 minutes. And I don't know if people think it's like an outdated thing. And they just don't want to do it anymore because experts, you basically just blow through them, even if you have absolutely abysmal gear. And sure, this isn't CC, but at the very least, at least like I almost have, like you said, you have to think about it. Like, oh, there's a brute, or what was the other one called? Smasher, or whatever the hell it's called.
Crushers.
Crusher, sorry. Regardless, like I like having to like think about like, oh, I gotta like, you know, like it gives like importance and like it feels like a threat. That always makes things more exciting. When stuff is completely like terrible and like it's mindlessly boring and trivial, it's bad. Like, period. Like, I don't understand how you could find that like fun or enjoyable.
Yeah, I'm not ever expecting trash to be like a boss in of itself or something. Trash shouldn't necessarily be like, super hard or anything. I mean, it's trash. Like I said, trash is trivial. That's why it's called trash. But it is nice when you can't just straight up face roll through it. And you say it's not CC, but you could use CC for it. If you have a mage with a transmogrify that can squirrel the brute, you could squirrel the brute on the pull and then pull away from the squirrel. If you were smart about it, and
Yeah.
I hope that they just leave it in, because you know what? That's a master mode. That is the highest possible difficulty for anybody who doesn't raid to be able to do. And well, I guess outside of raid rifts, although tier one raid rifts aren't that hard, the tier twos are pretty good. Probably tier twos are probably on par with master modes, to be honest, I think. But it should pose a challenge, being the top difficulty for that tier of content. It should pose a challenge, and people should just get used to it. That's my feelings. Get used to it. Get used to dealing with brutes differently, and crushers even, because crushers Titan Strike is hitting. It's either Titan Strike or their Blade Fury. One of their AoEs is hitting like ridiculous right now. I blocked a hit when we were doing our Master Mode yesterday. And I was tanking on my cleric, and I blocked something like 2,200 damage, and I still took 1,700. I was like, "Are you kidding me? It's like a third of my health. If that hit me for 100% of the damage, and I didn't block it, that's like a third of my health."
I love it. I really do.
So they updated nameplates today. Today being Wednesday, I keep forgetting everybody's gonna listen to this on Friday. But they updated the nameplates for friendlies, for you, for your target. And for enemies, and they look awesome. They like just the quality of them. I mean, I know it's just like bars, but they look really good. And what I love most about this change is that they added a opacity. They added conditions for them showing up. For example, when you're talking about the nameplates for hostile mobs, which would be any mob that's hostile to you out in the world, you can make it so that you have like a 40% opacity if that mob doesn't have a target. And then 100% if it does have a target. So, that way you go running through the Ember Isle, you can see all the little 30-40% opacity, nameplates of all the mobs that you could aggro, and then when you see it light up because it's 100% opacity, you just aggro that thing.
Yeah, I mean, I like you said, I just like the look of it because the old nameplates were, yeah, I'm not even going to comment on that. They were so bad. But I just like the overall look. I hope that they, in the future, continue and expand on it and add a little more functionality with like cast bars and things of that nature. But as a first initial step towards nameplates, couldn't be better, honestly.
They also have a condition set there so that you can change it so that you only see the nameplate, so you see the nameplate never, so that you see it always, so you see it only if you're in combat, and so you see it only if you've damaged the mob, like on hit, which are just, it's just awesome to have those conditions available there. And Tryon's always been great about being able to customize the UI. And on a bigger picture, we mentioned in a previous episode that I was afraid, or we were afraid, that maybe they were going to just kind of leave the UI development and improving the default UI aspects to add-ons and stuff and such. And you know what? Obviously, they're not. New nameplates. So you know what? They probably will do those raid frames that we were talking about.
Yeah, I hope so. Though the one thing I would say is that this took a long time in terms of people asking for it. Like I saw a pretty steady flow of threads like, please give me new nameplates. So I hope that anything they do in the future takes less time. But anything at this point is a bonus. That's just how I look at it.
Well, they've had their playful for sure, and I think that they were very focused on Infernal Dawn. They were very focused on, Hamrinel and how they were going to make the transition from Hamrinel to the new tier, because it's a huge year for the MMORPGs. So Tryon's really got their playful with what they're doing, and it couldn't be a better time to release these UI updates, really. So if they have more coming, then that's going to be excellent, because the UI customization and the add-on support, that alone right there, like, never mind how good of a company Trion is, that alone right there is going to attract a lot of people over the course of the year. Because, you know, when Guild Wars comes out, or The Secret World comes out, or Diablo 3, or what, maybe not so much Diablo 3, it's not really an MMO, or Terra, whatever, people are going to be like, you know, I want my add-ons, or I want my UI to look or function a certain way, and you're not going to get that in any other game right now, except for the Titan that is World of Warcraft. It's the only other one that can compare in terms of UI customization. So as Rifts just keeps getting better, it's just going to keep attracting more people, because it is a huge draw. I think add-ons and UI is one of the most overlooked but most critical aspects of an MMORPG.
Yeah, and it's just on a bonus and advantage for a pre-existing game when competition comes out. They can basically say, not only with nameplates, obviously, and or any type of add-on, but with just content, anything of that nature, they could say, we have this, whereas you're going to have to sit through growing pains with that new game.
So there's a new achievement listed. If you're on the PTS, on the public test chart right now, and you look under the raid category, there is a raid named Primeval Feast that has a whole list of achievements. I believe the total was 180. It looks like it's going to be a life-based instance, and that's based off of the bosses that are in there. Among those bosses are Alpha, who is the final boss to the Life Invasion on the Ember Isle, the Life Zone event. And Atrophinius, the freaking drunkard Fey dude's back, man.
Join us for some mead!
Man, you think they're going to do an even more epic voiceover just for you?
I hope so, man, because I love that guy.
Really? I couldn't tell.
What?
Tell me, woman, do you Ascended have good mead?
Yeah, let's just end there, please, because... it's funny. We're going to get into this a little bit, like, shortly, I would assume, but people are really hoping that this sliver is really on difficulty, because people have been, at least so far, a little disappointed with Infernal Dawn's difficulty. And the other thing that I've been reading, and we had talked about a little bit off air, that a lot of people are getting surprised, is that people are estimating, what, 7 bosses? And that's pretty big for a sliver. Every sliver, as we had talked earlier, off air, has been either 5 or 4 bosses, so... I actually hope they do more bosses. More bosses, the merrier.
I'm just happy to see Atrophinius again. I mean, some people are like, really? Atrophinius again? But you know what? He's awesome, man. He's awesome.
Yeah, I had actually seen a thread where a kid mentioned how he was tired of Rift, like, recycling bosses. But one kid had a really, like, funny response. He was like, you know what I hate even more? When random guys show up with no, like, previous mention in the story. And they're like, they just feel completely like contrived and thrown in. And I thought that was so like,
yeah,
dead on.
Definitely.
Because I'd rather them like use someone that I'm familiar with. And sure, you might be looked at it as recycling, but it makes sense in the story. Whereas like, I hate when they like, here's a new raid and it's 8 new bosses. You've never heard of any of them. And, you don't know where any of them are from, but somehow they're all together in this raid. It's like, wait, what?
Well, you have to think about the order of stuff, right? Like, let's look at Atrophinius for a minute, okay? He's in Realm of the Fae, which I can't... Shit, I had a really good argument going here, but now I can't really think about when Realm of the Fae actually kind of occurs. I don't even know if they give a time frame for it, to be honest.
Well, at least it's both life-themed, so at least that's going with that for it.
But I'm thinking of the concept of how many times we've killed this drunken asshole, and he keeps coming back.
You will pay for this insult.
So, but he's in the Greenscales Blade Chronicle, which I believe that Chronicle actually is supposed to take place. I don't remember if it's an alternate timeline or if it's supposed to be before the Greenscales Blade raid does. I mean, you actually kill the bosses in there, so I'm not quite positive on that. But I think it's an alternate timeline that one's in. So he dies in there, that's fine, that's an alternate one, so that's not going to affect anything. You kill him in Realm of the Fae, and then in the same timeline he comes back in Runic Descent, but he's undead this time because Alsbeth resurrected him. So that makes sense. That's 3 times, and so this is the fourth. But this is a sliver, and slivers are kind of like chronicles. They're taking place in a different timeline or an alternate reality or an alternate timeline. And it looks like people are saying that based on a couple of little emotes that the NPCs around the Amber Isle talk about, that Alpha has taken over the life cults after Greenscale was killed. So this is definitely going to take place like after, or probably going to take place after you kill Greenscale, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you've killed Atrophinius yet, maybe? Damn it, I've gotten myself all confused.
Whatever the case may be, they're going to make it make sense. But, you know, they're going to put it in some timeline, so it's practical. So why do we care? If they bring him back, whatever.
You know, I was trying so hard to make sense of the timelines, man, and I just realized how confused I am about where everything happens. There's four encounters for Atrophinius: Realm of the Fae, Runic Descent, the Chronicle, and going to be in Primeval Feast.
And it's not like the guy has, you know, I'd read multiple comments. The other thing someone said in the thread was that, you know, it's one boss that they're recycling out of seven. So, I mean, like, really, is that really that bad? It's not like they're recycling.
Well, they're recycling Hylas, too.
That's true. Okay, so two out of seven. Still, I don't care all that much.
And they're recycling Alpha.
If it's a nice fight, it's intriguing, it's difficult, and it's, like, a cool concept, I wouldn't care if I was killing David Bowie.
David Bowie, for the record, that's not like a random reference. Joe isn't, well, he is insane, but he's not insane because of that comment. I'm convinced that, oh shit, what's his name?
David Bowie?
No, not David Bowie, the boss at the last boss of Realm of the Fae. Fae Lord Twill. I swear to God, he looks like David Bowie. Like, that's what he reminds me of. He reminds me of David Bowie from The Labyrinth.
I don't think this is like an obscure reference, because I'm pretty sure that everyone, or at least Tryon, did this purposely. There's no way that they would give you an instance where you're going through a labyrinth and then end it with David Bowie when everyone, or at least a lot of people, know the movie Labyrinth and cheesy 80s flick that I sadly
that
still enjoy to this
cheesy.
Day.
Yeah,
everything
thank
made
you.
In the 80s was cheesy. Are you kidding?
It was Muppets. Like, you know, it was Muppets. It wasn't cheesy. It was just
yeah, because
old.
Muppets weren't... What? Like, no. Everything in the 80s was cheesy. The music, the movies, etc. I still like. That doesn't mean I dislike them necessarily. There's still some great movies and some great music, but it's still cheesy.
Well, you want to know. Tie this all together, okay? I want to know where Primeval Feast is going to be, and so do a lot of other people. Some people are talking about Silverwood. I believe people are roaming the PTS right now, trying to find the entrance to it. Because, ideally, if the achievement's there, the Sliver Portal is probably there.
Yeah,
you have to find where it is.
Yeah, but people were saying, though, that never worked with previous Slivers. Because they just
really?
Don't put it in. Yeah, they never work with, like, Rise of the Phoenix and whatnot. So, they're saying that's, like, never going to happen.
Well, I guess that makes sense. But, you know, this thing could show up on... It could show up really kind of anywhere. But I guess the ones that make the most sense would be either Silverwood or the Amber Isle. Silverwood because Silverwood's the life-based zone, or Amber Isle because probably going to be the final boss, Alpha, is part of one of the Amber Isle invasion events. But it is possible. I wonder if it's going to land. Maybe it's going to land in Plain Touch Wilds.
I would like to see Plain Touch Wilds.
A lot of people would like to see Plain Touch Wilds. People have been curious about the Plain Touch Wilds forever.
I found forums from back in March of last year about that place.
Yeah. When they did the the Rift cast or the Rift forecast commercials, whatever. You see Plain Touched Wilds and you see Tempest Deeps, which I haven't heard anything about. Like, nobody seems to have realized that Tempest Deeps is also on the map. And the Tempest Deeps words on these old commercials is all the way out in the freaking water. So I'm thinking underwater zone. But we've already killed Achilles, so. I'm really curious about Tempest Deeps as well. I think Plain Touched Wilds is going to be the Crucia patch. I'm just saying. Because it's Plain Touched Wilds. So Wilds makes you kind of think life. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to mean, you know, the realm of life or life rifts. So it could very well be that the city zone is located somewhere in Plain Touched Wilds or above Plain Touched Wilds.
Yep, I've read that actually quite a bit that people are thinking that.
Oh, really? Well, I guess I gotta browse the forums a little more thoroughly, because I didn't see anybody thought. I thought I was being unique. I thought I had a unique thought for a second there, but I guess I think like the masses do.
I don't think anyone necessarily said above, but they definitely said like somewhere inside. But though, they might have been, you know, insinuating that.
Maybe it'll be above Tempest Deeps. Maybe everything that you do is going to be underwater except when you go above to the city zone. I don't know.
This reminds me somewhat, and I hate referencing the other game, but in WoW, when for the longest time, Hyjal was on the map, but you couldn't get, like, you could get into it, and all there was a big tree. And then eventually they passed it, so you couldn't get into it, which is what happened with this. Because when I Googled Plains as Wilds, I found a couple of threads from back, like, over the summer. And some guy had, like, a video of him getting into it and, like, screenshots. Though most of the videos have been taken down.
Yeah, I think that was pure malice, which when I went to try to find that video again, because I had watched it already before, it said that he had closed his YouTube account down, or at least closed that YouTube account down.
Yeah. And
yeah, people were able to break into it for a while, but they fixed it.
Yeah, and like he found like one area where there was a series of like housing structures. But anyway, it reminds me so much of that. And then, they, you know, eventually, like, I mean, Hyjal was on the map from Vanilla, which came out in November of 2004. And they didn't actually implement Hyjal, you know, actual zone, I'm not referencing the raid instance, as an actual zone until Cataclysm, which was December of 2010. So a 6-year gap from, you know, obviously I doubt we're ever going to see that dramatic of a delay until Plains Touch Wilds, but I'm just saying, like, people think it's, like, always on the horizon, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was, like, another year out, like, honestly.
Yeah, you have to remember, we discovered Plains Touch Wilds on the map back when the game first came out, okay, back in March 2011. So it's already been over a year since, you know, we've noticed Plains Touch Wilds, which means that if they're still actively developing this zone, then it's been in development forever.
Well, that's why I referenced Hyjal, though, because Hyjal was on the map the instant WoW was launched. It was, like, in between, like, Feralus and... I can't remember the other zone. I've got the two zones, but it was on Kalimdor. It was near Feralus, and you couldn't click on the zone, but you could see the name clear as day.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so it's a very similar situation, and you can even break into it at one point.
I was just commenting on... Hopefully we don't have to wait too long for Plains Touch Wilds, but... I don't think anybody really thinks that it's, like, right on the horizon, although with this whole city zone thing coming up, I think it's possible that Plains Touch Wilds might be coming close now.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I mean, like I said, it's completely random. I think it's like, you know, if it came out a month from now or a year from now, either way, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it's funny that, you know, that's on the map, yet we saw Ember Isle first. I just think that's funny.
Well, if that's where the city zone's going... That's not where Primeval Feast is going, because Primeval Feast is going to be expected to be a 10-man, at least. There was one site, and I don't remember which site it is. I should have put it in the notes. I don't remember which site it was. That mentioned that they're believing that it's going to be a 10-man because it's 180 achievement points. Oh, that's right. It wasn't... I should correct something I said way back at the beginning of the show. There isn't 180 achievements from Primeval Feast. It's 180 achievement points worth of achievements.
Oh, okay. Because when you said
in Primeval
that,
Feast.
I was like, damn. But, you know, I didn't want to correct you because I didn't even know myself how many there were.
Yeah, that was. I had that in my head because I had gotten done reading. When I discovered this Primeval Feast thing, somebody had posted it and posted the screenshot of the raid achievements window. I went searching for information on, you know, what people were talking about it, what people found out about it, whatever, and I found that article on that one site that said 180 achievement points. So I had that in my head, but I forgot to mention at the beginning of the show that those were achievement points and not achievements. 180 achievements would just be absurd.
But it's plausible.
The same article was discussing that the previous 10-mans have 200 points, 200 points, and 220 points. So this is kind of right in line with what 10-mans get for achievement points. And also, Tryon has always alternated.
Yeah,
2010. They just did a 20, so the 10's next, which means that Primeval Feast should be a tier 3 10-man.
Yeah.
Which means that, you know, it's not going to come out in Plains Touch Wilds, because Plains Touch Wilds is going to be some future patch that's probably going to contain one of the 20-mans. That's my thoughts.
Yeah, I'm pretty much going to echo what you just said. Like, the alternating thing, more so than anything else, tells me it's a 10-man. I don't know why they would do two 20-mans in a row. Though, We had discussed, like, probably a while ago in our early episodes that, you know, there's a 10-man community, a 20-man community, though. I really don't think the 10-man community is really all that big, so I don't think it would upset too many people that they did two 20-mans in a row, so. But I still think they want to follow the same pattern, because it's like, if it isn't broken, why fix it?
Well, if they do two 20-mans, I don't know, they might need to do two 20-mans in a row, man, the way Infernal Dawn's going. I mean, we're not personally in there, but Earthwind got face rolled again.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they added more bosses last minute to Primal War Feast because of World Dawn's gone so fast.
This just in, there are 30 bosses in Primeval Feast to make up for Infernal Dawn.
Well, there's at least 7, so at least it's, you know, more than previous slivers, but...
Right, but we don't know how many of those are mini-bosses either, though.
Yeah, that's definitely true, yeah. I don't know. I think that people are wondering if the lack of difficulty in Infernal Dawn is just, you know, negligent with the tuning, or they purposely are, like, making stuff a little more accessible. Which, honestly, I can't doubt too much because we stressed over a couple of weeks ago how many infernal marks you can get per week. So obviously they want some stuff to be more accessible.
Well, I think that they did want Infernal Dawn to be more accessible, honestly. But the thing is, though, is that it shouldn't... The accessibility isn't going to be a result of the difficulty of the encounters. It's going to be a result of the stats on the gear and the gear required to enter the dungeon and complete the initial encounters. You know what I'm saying? And that hasn't changed. You know, you need to go from your 320 hit or 360 hit, because you need 360 for Achilleos. You need to go from your 360 hit to 420 hit. You know, like I was talking to you pre-show, the hit caps are essentially 220, 320, and 420 for the three tiers of rating right now. So, you know, the gear requirement has gone up at the same pace that it's been going up, but then the difficulty hasn't changed. So these people that are geared for it are walking in, and then they're fighting an easier... doing an easier encounter than what they were used to, or what they got out of, you know, what they got out of Hammernail, or even Greenscale's Blight for that matter. Really, Greenscale's Blight was a rough place to go through with the gear that we had back then and stuff.
But I think it's also a symptom of them nerfing previous raids. When you went into Hammernail, you just busted your ass. Now you're like, people are pugging the overwhelming majority of Hammernail, so anyone is walking into ID thinking, I have enough gear.
Well, yeah, well, that goes with what I'm saying. The gear is where the accessibility is, not the difficulty of the raid itself. You can make the encounters difficult, and you can make, you know, the hits, like how hard they're hitting. These people, if they're in Infernal Dawn, then they have the gear for Infernal Dawn. If you want to make it more accessible, then reduce the gear requirement to get into it.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with that.
It's a scaling issue. If your tank has 20,000 hit points and the bosses can only hit you for a maximum of 1,000 damage because of the stats you have, or whatever, and you undertune the boss, it's not going to be a difficult fight. Now, if you walk in there with, you know, say 12,000 hit points instead of 20,000 hit points, and the boss is hitting you for that same 1,000 damage, it's a completely different hit, you know what I mean? Because you have so much less health to absorb it and to react. Make that same boss, make that a 3k hit on a 12k HP tank, that's a fourth of their hit points.
Well, I mean, that goes
directly in line. So you get what I'm saying, it's a scaling issue.
Yeah, but that goes directly in line with the mark changes from experts and from Reekly's, etc. They want you to have better gear, period.
Well, at least partially, but I'm saying that they can't do both. Like, they can't hand you the gear to get into it to make it accessible and make the raid easier.
Oh, yeah, of course. Something has to give. One has to be harder, period.
Exactly. It either has to be much harder to get the gear to get into the easier raid, or the raid needs to be more difficult. And I think a lot of people would agree with me when I say it would be better if the raid was more difficult. And a lot more people probably wouldn't have so many mixed feelings about, you know, how quickly you can attain Infernal Marks and how quickly you can attain HK gear and such. If you got all that gear, then you walked into Infernal Dawn, you know, went up against War Boss and just got steamrolled, and you're like, what the fuck just happened?
Yep.
That's the way it should be. You know, I've noticed a trend, though, honestly. Even with Hammernail, Achilleos, there were a couple bosses in Hammernail that were exceptionally difficult. Like, Achilleos was exceptionally difficult, and he was a 20-minute long fight. I think he still takes probably close to 10 minutes, 12 minutes to down, but he was at least a 20-minute fight before his nerfs. But a good portion of Hammernail was actually fairly easy as well. And compared to, when you look at the scaling of it, you know, keep in mind, this is when the game first came out, Greenscale's Blight was harder than Hammernail. I would argue that GSB was harder than Hammernail with the gear that we had on release. And River of Souls also, I believe, stepped it up. We still had the same tier of gear, so the gear was still on the same scaling that it was for GSB, but then River of Souls was harder than GSB. Now, Hammernail looks beautiful, right? But then it upped us to a tier, and that next tier, a lot of it was difficult, but comparatively to what we had to deal with on launch, I think Hammernail was easier. And now Infernal Dawn, it's even better looking. Infernal Dawn looks absolutely amazing, and the dragons look absolutely amazing. But now Infernal Dawn is even easier than Hammernail was. So it seems like the prettier the raids are getting, the easier they're getting. Why can't we just have both?
But you know, it's funny because, like, from what I've been reading, a lot of the fights don't lack in-depth strategies. It's not like I hate referencing it so much, but wow, the biggest problem would happen when it, you know, it started tailing off was that.
I want 10 platinum. Just saying, for every time that you said, I hate referencing it so much, I want 10 platinum. You owe me.
Okay. I'll give you 10 silver. I hated how the strategies became less like a whole group being coordinated, and more so the boss hits 10 times harder now. Like, that's all that ever changed. It's not like Rift has that problem. It's not like all the strats are becoming, oh, this boss just hits even harder than Hammerdown boss. That's only, you know, the strategies are still there. So all they really have to do is do like a straight across the board, like tuning, you know, every boss does 5% more damage.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's like I was saying earlier. It's a scaling versus the gear. The bosses aren't hitting hard enough, or the stuff isn't, the mechanics aren't dangerous enough. They might be there, but they're not dangerous enough because you outgear it. Once you're geared for the content, you outgear the content, essentially.
They're going to have to do something. Though in this patch, today, actually, they did fix a few bugs from what I was reading that actually, I thought initially made it harder, but actually after I read it, actually made it a little easier. But that wasn't like a purposeful, you know, like we're making this easier. It's because some of the encounters were a little bugged, so people were doing roundabout ways to, you know, kind of like circumvent the strategy of the fight rather than actually like do something that should work, but because of a bug, it was, you know, inhibiting them.
Yeah, I'm honestly slowly changing my tune towards the concept of hard modes and multiple difficulties for raid content. If it preserves the challenge that we had at launch, I'll take it.
Well, first of all, I want to see what happens in Infernal Dawn. Like, if you're talking to me a month from now and we're still talking about this, okay, might start thinking about it. But I think the other thing is, I insinuated a little bit of it earlier, but I think the game would benefit so much from just not even do the different difficulties. Just make it so every instance, meaning slivers and 20 mans, are 20 and 10 man accessible. And the reason I say that now, and I'm even more adamant about it now than I did, you know, we talked about this like probably a month ago, or at least a handful of episodes ago, is I don't think the 10 man raiding community is all that big. I think the overwhelming majority is 20 mans, and people just do slivers because they're there, you know. They either split their raid into two groups, or, you know, whatever the case may be. I do not think the 10-man raiding community in this game is even that big. So I don't think you'd be alienating any considerable player base if you did that. And if you did that, you'd have constant content, because like we just said earlier, they alternate. So if you'd have 20, 20, 20, 20, 20 in terms of content. Like, if you're a 20-man guild, every new raid would be a 20-man. That would be fantastic.
I still have mixed feelings about that, but I mean, if the 20-mans were harder, right? If that was the difficulty choice, so that if you're a 20-man guild, then you're doing harder content and getting better gear than if you're doing the 10-man version of it, then I'd be okay with it. If the difficulty and the rewards were the same, then I would be very upset about that.
I don't know. That's because, like I said, I don't think this is similar to other games where there's a big 10-man community, there's a big 20-man community. Number one, there's a lot less bosses than 10-mans. And I just think that, like, people really aren't that geared towards doing that. I think, like I said, if I were to guess right now that 90% of guilds were 20-mans, I think I'd actually be, like, undercutting it a little bit. I think it's even more than that. I just don't think there's even a considerable 10-man raiding community. I think everyone's 20-mans. So,
well, that's because that's where the progression is, because the 10-mans, I mean, they're difficult, but 10-man, as you know, in general, over the course of raiding, has the smaller raid group has always had this mentality. Everybody's had this mentality about it and this thought about it, that the 10-man stuff is easier. So the place to be is in the 20-man stuff. Also, that's where they've put the tokens that can transform, for example, for Hammernail, that can transform your epics to relic versions of those tiered items. Those come from the 20-man, not the 10-man. You can't get those with Rise of the Phoenix. So that's another reason why 10 mans aren't really being taken seriously.
Well, I'm not so much I'm on board with what you said about making them different gear because of difficulty. Like, there's bonuses and, you know, there's advantages and disadvantages for each one. Like, 20 mans, sure, there's more people to manage, but you almost have the opposite problem with 10 mans. Like, you're spread too thin in certain fights, assuming the fights are designed similarly. You know, so you have less people to, like, depend on, essentially. So I almost see, like, the difficulty, you know, coming up in either scenario. So I don't think, like, one is definitely more complicated than the other. If you give them the exact same encounter and they're both tuned towards their certain types of, you know, amount of people, I don't think I'd say straight out, oh, 10 man's easier. I've played 10
man's. Well, yeah, if you give them the same encounter, but I'm saying that the encounters would be slightly different, such as, for example, if there's an instant wipe mechanic that can kill somebody in one shot, right? In a 10-man, that's going to make that encounter extremely harder on a 10-man, because in a 10-man, if you lose one of your healers, you're probably only running one healer, or you might have two healers for that fight. So if you lose one, it's you know, it's horrible to lose one. But, yeah, I mean, you have to consider, too, how many battle resses there are in this game. You bring, like, four or five battle resses to a fight and use them all, and depending on how long you might get one back, because some of these guys have like five, these classes have like 5-minute battle resses. But
you have to just limit that.
You could take that mechanic out on a 10 man. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. That's why I like.
Which would make the 10 man just as, either on the same difficulty as the 20 man or make it easier. Like, that's what I mean by the 20 man should be harder, is some of the mechanics should be more punishing. To a 20 man, you just have to tweak it depending on which one you were looking at.
Regardless, though, even if they made a gear difference, it wouldn't be a big jump. You know, it'd be, and more so than anything, like, I still think that'd be fine even if you did it that way. It'd still be more beneficial than doing. I would do that first before I did multiple difficulties, honestly.
Well, one thing that 10 and 20 man would do, I'll bite. I'll change my tune on that too, because we've talked about this on the show before as well, as the 10 and 20 man stuff. And I said that I didn't like it because I don't ever like having to repeat the same content, but sure, you'll be on the same lockout. Okay, if you do a 10-man, you can't do the 20-man that week. All right, fair enough. One thing that I will yield to that will do is that is definitely a better option for accessibility than what they're doing right now with making a brand new raid like Infernal Dawn and the first raid in its tier apparently so easy. You know, that's...
Yeah.
If they made a 10-man... That's accessibility right there, because it's a lot easier to recruit for a 10-man and to organize a group to go into a 10-man than it would be for a 20, which means that the 10-man community would grow, because, one, you'd be doing the same content and have access to the same tokens for upgrades, essentially, that the 20-man guys would have. The 10-mans would make it, I'm saying the 10-mans would make it more accessible, to everybody. I don't think there's a lot of 10-man guilds out there. I think they're the minority simply because there's no real huge thing reason to be in the 10-man versus the 20-man, you know. But if you're getting the same rewards as the 20-mans, then people will start forming up the 10s. And the people that really want a hardcore go at it can go at the 20s, and that's fine. So that would be a great option for accessibility, but I don't think it's the answer to difficulty.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily an answer to difficulty. I think they still have to, you know, like we said, it's straight up tuning. But it solves a lot of other problems. You don't have any, you know, massive gaps in content. And you'd have just like a... you think the content...
That's true, too.
...release schedule now is relentless? Holy crap, it'd be ridiculous. If every, like, 2 to 3 months you had another raid, it'd be ridiculous.
That is true. That is true. And that's another reason why, you know, just have faith. I have so much faith in this company. It's another thing that nobody else is going to compete. Other companies are trying to talk about, you know, aggressive content releases, but let's be realistic. Nobody's going to keep up with Trion this year. They're just not. We've all got our feelings and our opinions about the current content that we're getting, but you know what? Infernal Dawn might be easier than the previous stuff. It's still a quality raid. It still looks better than everything else we've had. They're still showing us some new mechanics. They've still got tricks up their sleeve, and their content's release schedule is still unparalleled, so...
It's like Trollhead. No one's going to beat it ever.
Yeah. All I know, if a dragon dies this weekend, I'm going to cry. There is going to be... I'm just going to watch the forums because I think my monitor will blow up if Lathus dies on Saturday.
And by blow up, you mean like you're going to throw a troll at it?
Well, I'm not in there. I'm not in there actually raiding, so I'm not going to throw a troll at it, but other guilds might throw a troll at their monitor. when they realized that, hey, we just killed a dragon in the same day it was released. Because, I mean, that's what everybody's been looking forward to so far, is all this talk about, you know, how easy Infernal Dawn is for people that are geared up and in there and doing this stuff right now. And everybody's saying, well, wait for the dragons. Because they're the dragons, you know, and these are just some random dragons that they threw in for, like, you know, filler content. This is Lathys and Maleforge. These are primary characters in the story. So these had better be some pretty damn epic fights. So we'll see what happens. But people will have pretty high expectations for the difficulty of Lathys.
Yeah, I think the most disappointing thing, though, is how, like, everyone I've read has been that hard mode of that one encounter. And, like, everyone anticipated, like, you know, hard mode is usually associated with, well, hard. So,
what do you mean by everyone?
Well, everyone in the community, when they hear the word hard, especially in hard mode.
No, you said everybody cleared it?
Oh, well, yeah. Like, if you watch, I read on Reddit Rift, I read in the forums, there's been at least, you know, and I'm not talking about, like, oh my god, the best guild in the world. I'm talking about, like, run-of-the-mill, like, guilds. Like, on Reddit, there's at least four or five guilds that post periodically, every couple weeks, you know, what they've downed. And these aren't really, like, super hardcore guilds. I know for a fact that one of them raids 3 days a week, 3 hours a night. And they actually, like, their tagline is semi-hardcore. So if you have, like, you know, obviously these kids aren't stupid. They know what they're doing. But that really disappoints me that, like, you know, maybe a slightly above average guild is doing hard mode. Like, that's kind of stupid.
Well, it's my turn to reference that other game that I really hate referencing. But you know what? This is nostalgic, okay? I'm sorry to say it. Everybody knows. Everybody, if you're listening, you know I love Rift. Like, it's, I can't hide it. I've been on this game since it came out, and I'm not going anywhere. But there were some good times in World of Warcraft, and one of the best times I ever had was on a hard mode. And if you played World of Warcraft, and if you raided, then you know what I mean when I say Firestarter, and that's all I'm gonna say.
I think what happened was, originally with hard modes in that other game, they were so ridiculously punishing and excruciating. But what happened was eventually, you know, the normal modes slowly got tuned, like, easier and easier, so they'd be extremely accessible. Whereas originally, you know, raids were complicated from the start, but then, like, hard modes were just, like, stupid hard. Like, you know, fucking face-melting hard. It was, like, dumb. And when I say dumb, I mean awesome.
Well, you know, that's something that Trions has said, right? You said that they were stupid punishing, and that's always been a big thing in Rift Raids, is that there are a lot of instant wipe mechanics. Not instant death for the individual player that screwed up, but that individual player that screws up is going to wipe the entire 20-man raid, and you have to start all over again because of one person. And that's what they were saying, like, in the interviews, and I think they said it on the live stream tour of Infernal Dawn before 1.8 came out, that they don't want that anymore, that they're trying to weed that out so that there's you know, more personal, there's still that personal responsibility there, but you're not going to lose the encounter because one person fucked up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's definitely good. That helps the hardcore mentality of it. But I just hope that if they continue to do hard modes, whether it's on a large scale or, you know, one or two encounters a thing, that it doesn't do what WoW eventually did, where they eventually were like, wow, well, both versions are hard, so let's make normal, you know, casual, accessible mode, and hardcore be moderately hard.
Okay, well, if they did, like, you know, instant wipe mechanics or just those extremely punishing mechanics, just up the damage so that it was that punishing for a hard mode, I'd be okay with that if it was just on the hard mode, because I do want the stuff to be harder, but I definitely, out of 20 people, one person screws up and then the whole raid wipes, that's beyond frustrating. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. Yeah. Like, I don't think there's a single person that enjoys that kind of an encounter. But they would have to take some of the loot off, or they would have to introduce, like, a new tier of the loot. Like, right now you have your epic versions of your stuff, and then in Infernal Dawn, you can get items like the Heart of Maleforge, or there's one from the Ember Enclave, I forget the name of the item that drops that'll allow you to upgrade your shoulders to a relic piece, to the relic shoulders. That would be fine as long as that's, like, not a set piece or a tier above set piece. Like, there's epic, relic, and then there's, like, relic times two. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I've been talking about this for the longest time, but they desperately need to add item levels in this game. I mean, that way you don't have to, like, constantly put, like, a new color. Like, oh, now we have purple items because they're even more epic. just add item levels. It, not only would it make things easier for raiding environments, but when you're comparing gear, you can simply say, oh, this is like 40 items level or lower. I'm not even going to bother looking at it.
You don't think that simplified? I think that would simplify that too much because it takes away from the theory crafting of it because you're not going to look at the stats straight away because you're going to look at the gear level of stuff.
And... Well, yeah, but now if I'm looking at armor I or any type of gear, I pretty much look at the armor. If the armor is lower, it's most likely worse. If it's higher, it's most likely better. And then, you know, then I make sure. And then with a weapon, oh, higher DPS, okay, it's better, period. Like, so you're really not simplifying anything. Instead of looking at the armor or the damage, I go item level 315, item level 380. Obviously, I'm throwing out random numbers here, but same difference.
Well, I mean, there are basically gears, or I almost say gear scores, that because that's on my mind too, because if they actually put the item level on the tooltip, then gear score stuff, because there is a gear score out there right now, that's good. That's going to get rampant, and then everybody's going to start requiring gear score for stuff. I mean, isn't it aggravating enough that every time you want to get into a pug raid right now, Joe, you're asked for your achievement, even though you know the fights?
I hate gear score. I really do. But in WoW, what was it? A 3-4 month period. There was a hype over it. Then it died. Even if it took over for a while. Plus, and development isn't.
It didn't die. People still want your gear score. They still want you to have a certain gear score to take you to content.
Well, yeah, but that's because WoW implemented their own, like, gear type thing to override gear score because gear score was stupid. And that was actually fine. It was, like, a number. I don't mind that if it's, like, on the default UI. Who cares about that?
Well, because it's the same issue. The only reason why World of Warcraft did it was because they let their add-ons get so out of control and that gear score add-on blew up so much, they really had no choice because that's what Blizzard does.
Yeah, but I actually didn't mind that once they put it in their own UI. I really didn't. I mean, what did it really hurt? I mean, if I want to know someone's gear level...
It hurts when you need, like, say, a 380 gear score or item level or whatever you want to call it. When you need a 380 for something or that's the accepted number and you have 372 or you have 378 and somebody tells you, no, it's not 380, you're not coming. That's okay. When it hurts.
But first of all, almost every time someone said that, they never actually looked at your gear. I don't know how many times I got in a group, and they just, you know, they just, when you said what your number was, they'd be like, okay, I let you in. That's number one. Number two is, what's the difference of that, or someone, I enter Green Scales Blight, do you have blue gloves on? Can't come here. It kicks me out. No difference.
Well, you don't go to Green Scales Blight with a blue.
Yeah, and you wouldn't go with a certain number. I think the number...
Sure, you can go with a 378, though. Because what's the difference between somebody who's a 378 and a 380? It might be, what, 2 dexterity?
Well, first of all, people weren't even that strict in WoW. Like, if you were, like, that close, they just let you go, number one. And number two was the minimum number was usually so low. The number is dictated by your, you know, how quality your gear is. So if you have absolute crappy gear, you're acting like the number is so much higher than what it actually should be. It isn't. The number is dictated by what the gear gives, you know what I mean? So if your gear is that bad, you're not going to reach that number. You shouldn't be there anyway.
Well, what kind of effect do you think this would have on people requiring achievements? Because here's a great example. My cleric, who I have all my achievements now because I've managed to get into enough, you know, enough pug raids and stuff or you know, subbed into a partial guild run or whatever, that I've gotten, like, pretty much all my achievements except for my Hammernail 1 on my cleric at this point. So I have the achievements to show, but before that, I would, you know, whisper them, and they'd be like, do you have the achievement? I'd be like, no, but listen, I did 7 out of 11 HK on another character. I can't show you the achievement for that stuff. Like, I know my shit. And, you know, they'd be like, well, I don't know, what's your gear look like or something? And I tell them, like, I'm in, like, tier 1 gear, and they're like, no, you're not coming. It's like, I don't have the achievement, but I have the gear, but they won't take me because I don't have the achievement, period. So, like, do you think that maybe that would change that? Like, people would be like, well, you have the gear score, so I'll take you?
I think the achievements would either be unaffected or positively affected by it. Probably unaffected. People are going to want the achievements regardless. And if it is positive, like you just said, that might do it. Like, if your gear score is high enough, they'd be like, all right, fine. You have another achievement, that's fine. I don't think it'll be negatively affected. You're not going to extra achievements more because of gear score. It's already had, you know, grown to a pretty substantial size, the amount of, you know, asking for achievements. So I don't think it would be negatively affected at all.
Well, I suppose you can kind of tell what the... There is an item level on stuff in the game. Like, I can almost guarantee you. It's just not on the tooltips. Because, like you said, you can look at the armor, right? And I don't know if this is what you meant this, but you can look at the armor, and there's a specific armor value for a specific tier of gear.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, that it would be so easy for them to just be like, okay, this is, I am level dot dot dot.
Right, but the trick is that once it's on the tooltip, it's changes the mentality of the player. You know what I mean? Because then they have something that they can look at easily. Because nobody's going to go and mouse over every single piece of your gear and see, like, you know, 469 armor and know that what tier that belongs to, and then see 369 armor and know what tier that belongs to, or whatever. Yeah, so by making it easier to do that, they can look at a single number and be like, nope, it's not high enough.
Yeah, I mean, to an extent you're going to have that, but I still think it's, you know, the positives outweigh the negatives.
I'll tell you this. I'd roll with the punches, but we got to wrap it up. Going on 2 hours. You know what? It's our 10th episode, so get an hour and a half or more here, I think, of stuff. Give you guys an extra long episode for episode 10. Happy episode 10, Overcast.
Yep. Let's go, Rangers. So happy the Bruins are gone.
Yep. Closing comments from Joe. You heard it here.
Yep.
Rift Overcast is recorded every Wednesday night and aired every Friday morning of each week. We're always looking for new guest hosts to be part of Community Voice, so if you have extensive experience or are especially passionate about any area of Rift, we want to have you on the show. Simply contact us with your desired topics. Overcast can now be found on Stitcher Radio as well. Visit www.stitcher.com to download the app or simply add us to your existing list. Stitcher is a great way to listen to Overcast on any of your mobile devices, such as your iPhone, iPod, or Zoom. You can contact Overcast via our email at riftovercast@gmail.com. Find us on YouTube at youtube.com/riftovercast and on Twitter at riftovercast. As always, we want to hear your comments and questions regarding both the show and the game, so be sure to leave us a comment below, and we will see you next week.